Okay, we are at the bottom of Ayin Amud Beis in Bava Metzia 70b, right at the bottom here, Esavay. Esavay, Rava says back to Rav Nachman, right? Rav Nachman had quoted Rav Huna that said it was usher to lend to a non-Jew with ribbis. Amr Nachman, Amr Lihuna, Lo Nitzcha El Dafil Ribbis Dovi Kochavim, is Aser, based on a pasuk that we quoted in Mishlei. So now Rava is responding to Rav Nachman, who quoted Rav Huna saying that. Esavei, Lovin Mehen Umalavin Osan Beribis, Vechein Beger Toshav. It says it explicitly in the Braisa. So it says Amr Amr Bechia, Amr Rav Chia, Bered Rav Huna, Lo Nitzcha Ela, Bichdei Chayav. That's only in a situation, I guess, when he needs it. Is that what that means? Kdei Chayav, meaning that's what's necessary for his life. But more than that, it's Usser. I don't know how you determine that. But that's what those words mean. Yeah. Oh, it's based on the Pasuk in Mishlei that we quoted, which is Marbeh Hono or something. Marbeh hono b'neshech v'sarvias, who is the drasha of Rav Huna. So the word marbeh means to sort of make more money. Ravina amar hacha b'tamid chachamim azkina d'tamai gazer rabbanan shema yilmod mimasav. Kevin d'tamid chacham hu lo yilmod mimasav. When is it that it's mutter to charge ribbis to a non-Jew? Specifically with the tamid chacham, who already knows better and therefore won't extrapolate from what he does with non-Jews to do it with Jews. Honestly, that doesn't make much sense to me because usually gezeras are not split like that. If it's a gezera, it's a low plug. When the rabbis say you can't do this because we're worried, Shem, you're going to do that. So that applies to everybody. The only time that we find a distinction is maybe in the Beis HaMikdash, where Kohanim don't have to keep gezeras derabanan. But here we're saying that the Talmud Chacham can avoid or circumvent the Gezerah of Ribbis. Just to me, it's unique. I'm sure there are other. There are other
terrible example.
Right? Yeah, right. You're right, exactly. They're the modeling. Yeah, right. Iga demasni la lahad Rav Huna. There are some that learn Rav Huna's idea that you're allowed to. That it's usher to lend ribbis to non-Jews also. Ahad the Tanya Rav Yosef, that it was in response to Rav Yosef said, based on the pasuk in Mishpatim, Im Kesef Talva, which used to be its own parsha, Im Kesef Talva es ami es ha'ani imach, ami v'nachri ami kodem. If you have the Jews and the non-Jews to lend to, so you should first lend to the Jews. You have a responsibility to the Jewish people first. Ani v'ashir ani kodem. And if it's a poor person and a rich person, you go to the poor person first. Aniyecha v'aniye ircha, aniyecha kodmin. Right, we know this one also, that the poor person versus the poor person in your city, so then, meaning the poor person in your family versus poor person in your city, so then poor person in your family first. Ani yircha v'ani acharas, ani e ircha kodem. Meaning the person who's closest to you is the one you should give precedence to for a loan. And then Amar Mar, it says in a breath, and therefore what? What does this have to do with Rav Huna? Let's see. Amar Mar, Ami Vinachri, Ami Kodem.
So what was Rav Huna's statement again?
Rav Huna had said that it's usher to lend with ribbis. I guess the point here is that if it's an Ami Vinachri, you give to the person, to the Jewish people first, but then you could give to the non-Jew in the same way you give to the Jew.
Yeah.
That you would then do the same way without ribbis, in the same way to an non-Jew, meaning without ribbis, it's aser. Amar mar ami v'nachri. That would mean, by the way, that sounds like a deraisa, at least by implication, deraisa. Amar mar ami v'nachri ami kodem pshita. Of course, you'd give it to the Jews first. Amar of nachma. Amar lihuna lo nisruch da'afil v'nachri b'ribbis l'Yisrael b'chinam. Oh, okay. That they say that the chiddush of Rav Huna was directly within the Havamina in response to this statement, that when it says Ami Vinachri, what it means is even Ami and you're not going to make extra money. You have an opportunity to make more money by lending to the non-Jew with ribbis. So he says that you shouldn't do before giving to the Jew, even though it's going to be more beneficial, profitable to do to the non-Jew. I think that's what it's talking about. Right, maybe you would have thought you could profit more from the non-Jew before giving to the Jew. Kamash Malan, you should always give to the Jew. Loan to the Jew. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yossi. And that was, I don't know if that's to the exclusion of... I mean, that's a very different statement Rav Nachman is saying from Rav Huna. Before we said it's usser, midrabanan, or at least from Pashtling and Mishlei, it's usser to lend with ribbis to a non-Jew. Here we're saying that instead of lending with ribbis to a non-Jew, which would be fine, you should give to a Jew first.
Right. According to according to this version, Rav Huna holds that it is permitted to
right.
take a Jew.
Just precedence to a Jew. I don't know how we pass it. Yeah, it doesn't say it here on that line. It doesn't have any notes. So maybe we don't pass the Rav Huna at all. Tanya... Yeah, quickly.
The accepted halacha follows the view that you are allowed to take interest from a non-Jew.
Right, okay. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yossi, bar Esam Yosei Nehem, shel malvei ribbis. Come and see the blindedness of those who lend with ribbis. Adam kari lecha. Yes, okay. I'm talking about the sort of the act of being blinded. Blinded, blindingness, I don't know. Samiyut Einehem is the act of being blinded. But okay. Adam Kari La Chaver Rasha. A person is called, if a person calls his friend a wicked person, Yorid Imol Chayav, then he's going to get in a fight with him. I guess. Because people don't want him called that. Vehem Vim Edim, and the lenders will bring witnesses. Vilavlar Vakumos Udio. And they'll bring a scribe and ink, and a quill and ink, the kosvin, and they'll write, the chosmin ploni ze kafar be'elokei Yisrael.
I don't totally get who's who in this little story. I get what this is, a condemnation of the interest lender, and interest, but I don't know who's calling who wicked in this story and who's...
I think it's saying that, you know, I mean, if I insult somebody, it's between me and the person I insult. But here I'm going to be putting it down on a document that I'm lending somebody with interest. That's making it part of a public record that I'm...
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was something like, it's not that you're writing down that he's a Russia, but it's that you are solidifying your own reputation by doing so. Meaning you'd usually get upset at somebody for calling you a Russia. And here, you're just telling everybody you're a Russia. That's what I thought it was, but it doesn't say that explicitly. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer kol mi sheyesh lo maos malveh osa mal shelo beribis. Anyone who has money and does not lend it with ribbis.
Who lends it?
Who lends it without ribbis. Same, yeah, that's what I meant. Allah v'kas of Omer, kaspa lo nasan meneshech, v'shoch lo al nakilo lo kach, osa eila lo yilmot lo yolam, he'll never falter. Ha lamadita shekol hamalva beribis tachasim mismotzin. Anyone who does, their money will go down. V'haka chazinid lo mosvi beribis v'kam mismotzin. But wait a second, we find people that lose money all the time that aren't lending with ribis. Am Rabbi Elazar halal mismotzin va'olin v'halal mismotzin v'enor olin. Okay, hard to prove that kind of stuff. But the people that go down are going to go back up. But the people that go down because they lost, they charged ribis, are never going to go back up. Lama sabit bogdim tacharish kevala rasha tzadik mimenu pasuk in Chabakuk amar of Huna. That means tzadik mimenu boleya, from a righteous person, the wicked will be swallowed up. Tzadik gamar eno boleya, tzadik mimenu boleya, tzadik gamar eno boleya.
It says a wicked person can swallow a person who's more righteous than himself, but he can't swallow a...
fully righteous person.
A fully righteous person.
Okay, whatever that means. I'm not sure. I guess that's the distinction we were just talking about, going down and not coming back up. Tan Rebbe Yomer, Ger Tzedek Ha'amar Le'inin V'chira V'Ger Toshav Ha'amar Le'inin Ribbis, Ein Yod De'amahu. I don't know what it means, Ger Toshav, when it comes to Ribbis. We said that yesterday that they would be included, but... I think, yeah.
But we didn't define who the Ger Toshav was.
Oh, is that what it means? I don't know who they are. Ger Tzedek Hamor Le'inin Mechira, when it comes to a Ger Tzedek, when it talks about selling to them.
When it talks about selling them as an Eved.
Oh, selling them as an Eved?
As an Eved, yeah.
Okay. And they would be called an Eved Ivri, since they're acting as Jews. Well, this is Ger Tzedek. Ger Tzedek for sure is a Jew. I was thinking about Ger Toshav, but Dechsev v'chi amucha chichi mach v'nim karlach. V'lo l'cha ela l'ger. Shenemar l'ger. It says it in the Pasuk later on. V'lo l'ger tzedek, v'lo l'ger tzedek, because he's a Jew, so we don't need the Pasuk to tell us that. Ela l'ger toshav, shenemar l'ger toshav. The Pasuk says it. So therefore, Mishpachas Ger Zehanachri, the family of the Ger, which is also in the Pasuk, is referring to non-Jews. Kshe Omer O Le'eker, Le'eker? I don't know what Eker means.
Or to an idol.
Idol? Eker is an idol?
This is the way it translates it, yeah.
Zehanim Kralavot Kravan, that's if someone goes directly to an idol worshiper. Okay, not really sure what the context of the pasuk is. You're selling them? You're selling something to them? I'm not sure. Amar mar v'lo l'cha ela l'ger shneva l'ger l'meimra d'ger kani eved ivri. Is that true that a Jew, who's what you're saying is already mentioned to Stam because they're Jewish, are we saying that they could acquire an eved ivri? Or mini ein hager nikna be'eved ivri. In Hager Nikne Be'evri. Oh, that means is that Ger can't be acquired as an Evri. Evid Ivri.
Keep going.
In Hager Nikne Be'evid Ivri. Ve'en Isha V'ger Konin Evid Ivri. So it says the rest they can't do that. Ger Lo Nikne Be'evid Ivri. Because the Pasuk of Shavah Mishpach Toba, and you have to go back to your family. V'haleka. He doesn't have a family to return to with, like, freedom. V'ein isha v'ger konen eved ivri. The reason they can't acquire someone else is isha lav orach ara. A woman's just not her way to acquire. Even though we've seen stories of women with avadim, I guess she inherited them or something. Ger nami gemiri demikni kani delomikni lokani. I guess it goes both ways. If you can be acquired, then you can acquire.
The suggestion here is sort of unseemly. It looks like it's going to be done for immoral purposes.
So I wonder then whether what it is telling us, even though he doesn't say it here, is that she can't acquire a male slave, but she'd be allowed to acquire a female slave.
I don't know if it gets that detailed, but yeah,
she
maybe.
She in general can acquire a male slave.
What?
You're talking about Lav Orach, are you talking about the woman part of it?
The woman part.
I did the next part of Arthel. Okay, so yeah, then the woman part of being acquired,
this
almost like...
This may very well have a family to return to. He gets married, he has children, and then he becomes
I think it's referring to the upper family, not the lower family.
I understand, but yeah. I mean, I don't know why there's a distinction.
Right, I don't know. We'd have to look into V'shava Mishpachto, which I believe comes up later in the Masechta. The concept of freeing slaves. Maybe I'm wrong. But by inheritance and stuff. But what's this part? Gernami, the convert also can't acquire an Eved Ivri because we have this apparently Halach L'Moshu Sinai Mikgemiri Demikne Kani Delomikni Lokani. Those who can be theoretically acquired, a regular Jewish male could be acquired as an Eved Ivri. So they can't be, they can be acquired. Those who can't be acquired can't then acquire. Okay, I would assume there's a pasuk for that kind of drasha. We have that by Bris Mila in Kiddushin. It has a drasha like that. But okay, I guess we'll just have to take halacha l'mashita. That's what it means, gemiri. Gemiri means you just kind of accept it. Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak, Eno kona v'dino ki Yisrael, Ava kona v'dino k'nachri. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak has a different Mesorah that when it says an Eved Ivri can't be kona, when it says a ger can't be kona an Eved Ivri, What it means is Eino kono v'dinu k'Yisrael. It means that he can't acquire an Eved Ivri and treat him like a Jew. In the sense that he could, apparently that means, bequeath him over, give over an inheritance to his child. Aval kona v'dinu k'Nachri. He could be kona and Eved Ivri, but he just can't. The Eved isn't treated as property that it could be given over to a child. The Tana, the rest says Hanirza, not a reference to the Haggadah, but someone who is staying his extra time, right? An Eved Ivri that wants to stay more than 6 years.
He gets his ear
pierced.
And now he stays till Yovel.
Right, he would stay until whenever Yovel is. Vahanim Karla Nachri, and an Eved Ivri that's sold to a non-Jew. Eno Oved Loes HaBen VeLoes HaBas. They do not work for the children of those...
of the person who slaves
masters.
Right.
That doesn't have anything to do with a ger. No? That sounds like every Eved Ivri. I don't know. Amar Mar, let's go back to what we said before. Any shiver konen Eved Ivri, name of the look Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. Ben Gamliel d'tanya isha kones hashvachos ve'ena kones ha'avadim. That also because of promiscuity types of things. So she can't acquire an Eved because of what that might mean. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel Omer af kones ha'avadim. That Rebbe Shimon Gamliel says she could even acquire avadim. Says the Gemara. So how does that work with what we said before? The price we said before that says she can't. Afilu tema. Afilu tema, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, v'lo kasha kan. When the Braisa says she can't do it, be'eved ivri kan be'eved kanani, that she's not allowed to acquire Jewish male slaves, but she could acquire non-Jewish male slaves. Eved ivri tziniela, and eved ivri is more modest,
yeah,
and therefore if she would do something. Counterintuitively, if she would do something illicit with this Eved Ivri, it won't get out because they're modest. But Eved Kanani paritzla, and therefore she's not allowed to because there's not going to be the same a level of shame involved in whatever she does with him, since she knows it's not going to get out. But the Eved Kanani is going to talk all about it, and therefore that's going to be a natural barrier from her to do anything. Okay, interesting insight there, Ella. Hadatani Rav Yosef Armalta lo terabe kalba. That sounds like a phrase of some kind. A widow shouldn't raise a dog. Mm-hmm. Huh? Velotashri barbe rav bushpiza. I don't think I want to translate this. Velotashri barbe rav bushpiza.
She shouldn't allow a rabbinical student.
Okay, that one makes a little more sense. Was the first one literal?
Yeah, she's not allowed to have a dog because she might be tempted toward bestiality. Really?
Yeah. I feel like these two statements don't go together. Like the dog thing, you can say separately, but don't lump it into the heavy yeshiva student to put you. Okay. Either way, bishlama barbera. Okay, here tzniyali al kalba kevin de misrach ba mirtsa. Can you translate that? I have a feeling what it means, but I don't want to say
it's the same idea that the...
Is that what that means?
That the yeshiva student's going to be quiet.
Right.
The dog may cling towards her, and therefore...
People will get the impression that she's...
Oh, it's going to be clingy. Okay.
Yeah.
I get it. Not what I thought.
These are clearly written by people who don't know that dogs are clingy no matter what you do.
Right. These people have never been by... never raised a dog before. Okay. So Amri.
It's also interesting that why dafka a widow? I mean, it should be true.
Yeah, I think what it means is a woman who's probably missing out on, you know, but relations.
Why wouldn't it be true for a single woman?
Right.
A
I hear you.
Divorcee.
I hear you. I guess divorcee more than a single woman, but okay. Yeah. Amri, kevan dechishadile umtza. Once she throws meat for it to be eaten, misrich basra. Then
they're saying no. I think they're saying like Aaron's saying, no, you mean if she feeds the dog, the dog's going to cling to her. So people aren't going to assume.
That's why they're clinging, not because of whatever she's doing, and that's why you can't have a dog either. Gertoshav Amalim and Ribis Dich Mahi. Where does it say Gertoshav by Ribis? Dich Siv Vichyamucha Chicha Umata Yado Imach Vechazakta Bo Gervisoshav Chayimach. Al Tikach Meto Nachshavus Arbis Vyeres Melkach Vechayachichayimach. I don't know why I have to quote the whole pasuk, but Uraminhi, doesn't the pasuk say, didn't we say earlier yesterday, Lovin Mehenu Malvino San Beribis Vechen Beger Toshav, that you are allowed to use, have charge ribis to a Ger Toshav, a local non Jew who's acting as a Jew, observing mitzvahs as a Jew?
Is he observing mitzvahs as
a resident convert?
Or is he just observing Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach?
I don't recall what exactly it is, but Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach would include dinim, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but he's not observing all the mitzvahs like you do.
Okay, I'm not sure. Either way, here we're saying that you could use ribis with them, and before we said the pasuk, you can't. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak makes siv al tikach me'itam me'ito k'siv. Meaning me Yisrael, that the when it says me al tikach me ito, it's saying that the ger toshav is not allowed to charge the Jew ribis, but the Jew is allowed to charge the ger toshav ribis. And really, that pasuk talking about v'chayimach means to lend to them and help them out, but nothing about you can't take ribis. Tanur Rabbanan al tikach me toch nefesh v'sarbis. That's the pasuk that with this whole parak's been talking about atana selo arev. Don't charge ribis, but you could become a guarantor for a loan that includes ribis.
Yeah, sure.
I guess that's with like a non-Jew, a loan with a non-Jew. Let's assume.
He says. For your fellow Jews.
Well, the Gemara is going to explain now. Ayin Aleph, Amud Beis, 71b. Arev Leman, Ilim, Arev Yisrael, Vatana, Elo Ovrim Belos Haseh, Hamavah Valova, Harev Ha'edim. You'd be included in the dynamic, which is over the Yisr of Ribis, if you become a guarantor for a loan with a Jew with Ribis. Ela Lenachri, must be a loan to a non-Jew. The Kevan de Dine de Nachri de Azubasa Arva, and Ihu Nihu, the Kashaka Mine Ribisa. If that's the case, that it's mutter to be an Are for a non-Jewish ribis loan. Kevan Dine Dinachri da Azabasa Arva, because the dinim of non-Jews, the non-Jew will come to him.
The non-Jew is allowed to go to the guarantor.
Directly. As opposed to Jewish law, you try to go to the borrower first.
Right.
Here, the non-Jew, according to their laws, I don't know if this is true or not, they would go straight to the guarantor, and therefore what?
And then the guarantor would have to go back to the original Jew who lent the money to get his money back.
Ihu niu dekashakla mine ribisa, he's going to have to charge ribis to the Jew.
Right.
And if he doesn't, so he's going to lose that money.
Right.
And then he's not going to be a guarantor to Jews. Because then he's going to get stuck. Amr of Sheshes, Shekibel Alav Ladun Bedin Yisrael. They had accepted in that loan, or that you should do so, to work within the context of Jewish loans, which is with no ribis, in which case, why would the non-Jew do it? I'm not sure. Ikibel Alav Ladun Bedin Yisrael, ribis namil lishkol. If you're using Jewish parameters, so then he shouldn't take any ribis, because you can't take ribis. Oh, they were trying to say that we're going to do it like the Jews do. You go to the borrower first and not the guarantor. So hopefully they don't get stuck in the situation, which doesn't prevent it, but at least not all the time. So now they're saying, well, wait a second. If they're holding like Jews, so then they shouldn't be having any ribis anyway. So Amrav Sheshesh Kibbutz Alav Lazu, Vilok Kibbutz Alav Lazu. They took part, you know, they took some Jewish things, but not other Jewish things. And that's why it's a quagmire there. Malvi Yisrael Malosav Shal Nachri Medas Nachri. That, this is back to the Mishnah. The Yisrael, what does this mean? He can lend money of a non-Jew with a non-Jew's permission, with ribis, right? Yeah. Tanur Rabbanan Malvi, Yisrael also shall nachri with ribis, midas nachri, with the nachri's understanding, avalo midas Yisrael. But he's not allowed to do that with Jewish understanding. What does that mean? Aval lo midas Yisrael. Not with the Jews' knowledge, but without the non-Jews. So, Ketzad Yisrael Shalom Masur Nachim Beribis. If it's talking about a Jew who is borrowing money with ribis
from a guy,
from a non-Jew, yeah. Vikesh lachziram lo, and he wants to give it back to the non-Jew. But mitzoh Yisrael achar v'amar lo, and he finds another Jew and says to him, "Tanei li v'ani ala lecha kederech shatam ala lo." Don't give the money back to the non-Jew, rather give it to me. Another Jew finds him and says, give me the money that you're going to give to the non-Jew, and I will give him the money just like you were going to give for yourself to him.
No, and I will give you the money. I will give you the interest. And I borrowed money from a non-Jew. I'm going to have to pay him interest.
Oh, I think he's triangulating. Basically, the Jew owes the non-Jew. If he pays him now, he'll be good to go. But if he waits, he's going to have to pay an extra interest charge.
Right.
And this third guy is coming to the Jew and saying, okay, I'll pay the overcharge. I'll pay the delayed fee for getting it back to the non-Jew late. You just give me the money instead. Meaning make me a side loan, and I'll take care of any ribbis issues. In which case, he's not the one paying ribbis to a Jew, but it's involving a Jew. So it's aser. That's aser because it's still considered like the Jew's money, and then the extra that you'd have to pay for the Jew's money is considered like being charged interest by the Jew, even though the money is going elsewhere. Vimhamido etzel nachri. However, if he did it next to the non-Jew, so then that's mutter. So that's what it means, midas Yisrael, but not midas hanachri. If it's midas Yisrael and midas hanachri, then it's fine because the non-Jew is aware of the arrangement, and therefore it's like the ribbis is never, it's never arranged with the Jew. It's arranged really with the non-Jew who's standing right there. It says in where v'chein nachri shalav b'malsim Yisrael beribbis, and so too a non-Jew who borrowed money from a Jew with ribbis, ubikish lachzirim lo, and he wanted to give him a zol Yisrael achar v'amar lo, and then the Jew finds the non-Jew and says to him, don't give the money back to the Jew, to namely give it to me, v'ani ala lecha kederech shatam ala lo, and I will pay for the ribbis to him. This is basically saying that the money that the borrower has is considered like the borrower's money. So in the first case, the borrower's money meant it was with a Jew, so it's usser. But in this case, it's like the non-Jew's money, who's also the borrower, and therefore it's mutter to have this arrangement with the ribbis without the knowledge of the Jew. However, the im hamidu et Yisrael, if the Jew is right there and he's saying to the non-Jew, hey, how about you just give me the money and I'll pay the extra ribbis that he's going to charge you, so then that's basically like I'm arranging that with the Jew. And that would be Esther. Bish, lama seifa. It makes sense, the seifa, that the Jew is standing right there, and therefore that would be Esther, because it's arranging ribbis with the Jew. L'chumra, you're making a chumra. El Aresha, the first part where it says you'd be allowed to do it with the non-Jew standing right there. Kaven de'ein shlichus l'nachri. Ah, you can't make a shlichus for a non-Jew, and he, just because he's standing right there doesn't make it any different. You can't appoint the non-Jew to assume the cost of the Jew. So when he says, why don't you give me, you, the Jew, give me the money and I'll give the ribbis, I'll pay the ribbis that's owed to the non-Jew, the non-Jew can't act as the emissary for the Jew to collect that ribbis payment. So therefore, it's like you're paying ribbis. Kevin to Einschlichus Lanachri, Ihu Nihu de Kashakum in a ribisa. It's like the Jew is accepting the ribbis. So Amar of Huna Mar Manoach, Mishmeder of Achabreder of Ika, Hachma Eskin, Kigun de Amar Le, Hanichim al Gabi Karka, Vihipater. You're not really giving it to anybody. You're just putting it down and saying, I'm going to put it over here and we'll call it even. We'll call everything taken care of. But I'm not actually giving it to anybody. And then the Jew will come along and pick it up off the ground and give it to the non-Jew who he owes it to. So, well, if that's the case, if we're just putting money down on the floor, so then what's the big chiddush? There's nothing wrong with putting money down on the floor, right? Why would you ever think that's what Elam or Papa, Kigon Shenatal V'Nasan Biyad? That the non-Jew is picking up the money? the non-Jew is taking it straight. Uh-huh. Okay, so it's basically the non-Jew is coming to the third party who reclaimed the loan or was like an intermediary. He swooped in. The one that swooped in is now going to, the money is going to be taken straight out of that person's hands as opposed to going through the Jew. And that's why it's not a problem. So then still, maybe he's doing it on behalf of the Jew and that would be somehow a problem even though there's no shlichus. Kamash Malan, we don't consider it at all in that way, and it's really just a non-Jew taking money. Rav Ashi says, Ki amrin ein shlichus v'nech. When do we say there's no shlichus for a non-Jew? Hani mili betruma. That's when it comes to truma, that they can't be mafresh truma on behalf of a Jew. Aval b'chol atarakul yesh shlichus v'nech. Wow, I didn't know there was such a shita. That for all other things in halacha, there is a shlichus for a non-Jew. Okay, good. Not good, but just not for what I'm familiar with. V'ha Rav Ashi, and this concept of Rav Ashi, Berusahi, it is a outward opinion, like bar, it's out on the outside. Maishna
true. Gemara uses this expression as a polite way of saying that it's a mistake. Yeah,
right, okay. In an outsider's opinion. Maishna truma delo, dichsiv atem, gam atem. Atem, gam atem, ma atem, b'nei bris, af shluchachem nami b'nei bris. Shlichus chotarakul nami, mi truma gamrin. We learn it from truma, the Gemara in Kedushin says, Ella de Rav Ashi Brusahi. It must be that Rav Ashi's opinion is not accepted. It's an outsider opinion. Ikadam Ryam Rav Ashi, alternatively, Rav Ashi said, Ki amrin ein shlichus v'nechri. When do we say that there's no emissarying, not a word I know, but there's no creating a shlichus for a non-Jew on behalf of a Jew? Hanimili in hula didan. That's if they want to act as our shlichim. But aval anan ledidhu havina luhu shliach. A Jew can be a non-Jew's shliach. I don't know how that works or what the context would be. But v'hadr of Ashi brusahi ma'ishna inhu lididan delo dechsiv atem gam atem l'rabba shulchachem ma atem b'nei bris av shulchachem b'nei bris anan lididhu nami ma atem b'nei bris kamar. Atem also means that they should also be, the shlichim should also be b'nei bris. El hadr of Ashi brusahi, that's also on the outside. Ravina amar nihi d'shlichus anachri le'islei Zechia midrabanan is like, it's true that a Nachri doesn't have the capacity to be a shliach for a Jew, but the non-Jew could, at least midrabanan, for any issue which requires a level of drabanan acquisition, they can acquire something for a Jew. And that's what's going on in the Ribbis case, that we would have thought maybe the non-Jew could accept it on behalf of the Jew. Kamash Malan, it's not a problem. That it would be a problem for the non-Jew to collect it because it's ribbis for the Jew. Kamash Malan, it's not even considered that. Says the Gemara, the Ravina brings a proof. Midid havea katan, katan lav af agav telesli shlichas. Same thing with a child. Even though a child doesn't have the capacity to be a shliach of a Jew, and then the kid could be zoche for something midrabanan. We talked about that a little bit on Pesach. Hachnami lo shna. So to here is no difference with a Jew. Velo, he says, where that's not true. Yisrael asi lechal shlichas. The reason why a katan has a greater propensity or a greater capacity to act as a zoche midrabanan is because he will ultimately act in that way as a shliach. But ovikachavin lo asi lechal shlichas. But a non-Jew will never come to that level of that capability, and therefore it is not the same thing. They would not necessarily be able, like a child, to be zocha for durabanans. So I don't know. I guess this is a disagreement with Ravina. We're now saying that it's at least not necessarily the case, but the fact that they're rejecting it implies to me that maybe there's a differing opinion. And I don't know how that fits back into the original case of telling us that it's mutter for the non-Jew to collect from the Jew directly, and it avoids ribbis. We haven't justified why we would ever think the Havamina applies. Ravina just did, but then we rejected it. So I don't know how you work that back in. Okay, Shkayach.